I'm going to try with a mic. He is risen. Oh, what an awesome call and response day it is, right? Emily, amazing. Oh, my word. You want to talk about testify? Right there. We all just got a massive testimony. Incredible. It's so good to be with all of you. It was said already, if you are visiting, either you're online or in person, this is your first time, thank you for joining us. It's a gift for all of us who are gathered together. What an awesome day to celebrate and remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as I was asked to speak about Easter, I was thinking about this day, and honestly, I just kind of got stuck, because knowing that when I say he is risen, you already know the story, which makes it kind of hard as a speaker. And so I was stuck thinking, what on earth am I going to talk about? What am I going to testify? We're talking about in this series who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he's impacting our life. And I was honestly just stuck wrestling with, okay, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ is coming again, but what do I actually say on this day? And the Lord, I do believe, wants us to remember, but what does he want us to remember? So we're going to figure this out together this morning, and I'm going to pray for our time. Jesus, I thank you for the resurrection. I thank you for life transformation. Lord, I thank you that you give us hope beyond the grave, that you paid the penalty, you take our shame. Lord, you clothe us in white. You give us hope and new life. Lord, would you help us remember who you are, what you've done, and how you want to impact our life. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I thought about Easter. Some of the challenge came with the fact that there's four gospels that talk about Jesus. And of the four gospels, a third of the gospels are literally covering Jesus' last week on earth, which makes it really challenging and a lot of content. So what do you choose to talk about? There's so many areas that I could talk about. I could talk about how Jesus, as he was moving towards Jerusalem, he heard that his friend Lazarus had died. And so he went to visit Lazarus and see him, but by the time he gets there, Lazarus is dead. And then he talks to the people and he says, Lazarus will rise again. And they respond and they say, yeah, we know he will. We know he'll rise in the last day. And then Jesus testified and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And then he said, where's the grave? And he has them open the tomb. And they're still not believing. Like, it's been a few days. He's going to smell. But he says, open the tomb anyway. And then he calls Lazarus out and he comes back to life. And I could talk about that and all the imagery and the symbolism of what it meant and what was about to happen. I could talk about that. Or I could talk about how 6 days before Passover, Jesus was at Lazarus' house, which imagine that. He's come back from the dead. Jesus is having a meal at his house. And Mary, not his mother, but a friend, comes and breaks a 12-ounce jar of perfume. And she anoints Jesus' feet, and she's cleaning them off with her hair, and the fragrance is filling the whole room. It's this beautiful moment. And into that, Judas, who is the thief and going to betray, condemns and says, what a waste. That was worth a year's wages. You could have sold that and given it to the poor. But Jesus testified, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. And I could talk about that. Or I could talk about how Jesus, as he was entering Jerusalem, the crowds had gathered together and they were pressing in, and there were hundreds of thousands of people in this place. And the crowd starts crying out over Jesus, like they believe he is the Messiah, this long-awaited king. They're crying out, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They're getting it. Is he going to take the throne? Is this happening? Is this for real? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And then at that exact same time during that parade, there were people actively plotting his death. And how could they kill him? Talk about that, or I could talk about how Jesus looked forward to the Last Supper, his last time he would eat before his death, the Passover meal, and how in that meal he had gathered his disciples together. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. And he took the cup and he said, this is a new covenant between God and people. My blood poured out for you confirms it. And how in the very next moment, after uttering those beautiful words that are so foundational to us and invite us to remember who he is and what he's done, he then testified, but here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. I could talk about that. I could talk about how he was betrayed with a kiss. And he was handed over to the authorities. And the Romans took him and Pilate questioned him. And at the end of all of it, Pilate said, I find nothing wrong in this man. He's innocent. And Pilate brought him out to the people and he said, here's Jesus. I will flog him and release him. And the crowd said, no, crucify him. 3 times, Pilate said, I'll flog him and release him. He's innocent. And the crowd only cried louder. To where Pilate then said, he gave the people what he wanted. And he said he condemned him to death. Or I could talk about how when Jesus was nailed to the cross and he was hanging on the cross, the people were gathering around and they were saying, if you're such a good teacher, if you're so powerful, if you're really who you say you are, then come down off the cross. Prove it. Prove yourself. Show us who you are. And people wondered, is he going to come down? Is he going to smite his enemies? Is he going to take control and take the throne in front of everyone? And people were hanging on every word that he might utter, what he might say on the cross. And Jesus testified. He shouted out, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last and he died. I could talk about that. I could talk about how soon after that, Joseph, who was one of the religious leaders who didn't agree with everything that happened or how it all played out, that he went to Pilate and he said, can I have his body? And he wrapped him in linen cloth and he placed him in a tomb that was cut from rock no one had ever used, and they rolled a huge stone in front of it. I could talk about that and how the women were watching at a distance as this all unfolded because they wanted Jesus to be buried properly. These are the women who walked with Jesus. Some had been healed by Jesus. One gave birth to Jesus. They took care of him in his ministry and they wanted in his death to take care of him. And so they rushed home after seeing where he was placed and they gathered all the ointments and the spices and they wanted to come back and anoint. But by the time they got it all together, night had fallen and the Sabbath had started. And so they chose to rest and wait. And they waited a whole night and a whole day and another night. I could talk about the meaning of all this. And then I could talk about how the very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, which probably felt like a miracle. How are we going to get access to Jesus's body to anoint him? And they may have even been celebrating. Hey, look, the tomb's open. We can get to the body. And it says, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. The body was gone. And as they stood there puzzled, 2 men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? What? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Can we relate to that? Do we ever go looking among the dead to find life? Do we ever in our life pursue things that lead to death and brokenness, thinking, hoping they might give us life? This is a question that's as relevant today as it was in this moment, and they had no idea what he was talking about. And then came the words that forever changed the world. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. He is risen. Yeah. It's amazing. He's risen. Can you imagine hearing this? You're coming to anoint a dead body in grief, and you've just been told he is risen. What? And listen, the men say, remember. Remember. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Remember. I said I was having trouble with this message. I could talk about all these things, and honestly, I didn't know what to talk about. Because I knew that when I say, he is risen, you know the story. What would I possibly testify to? What would I talk about? And I didn't have anything for weeks, and it came down to Tuesday. I had just one morning left, blocked off, and I was like, I'm going to go spend time in a coffee shop, and I'm going to get this message. I'm in search of this message. What do you want to say to your people? And so I go to this coffee shop, and I sit down, and I have the scriptures, and I feel like Jesus just says, hey, I don't want you to worry about that yet. I just want you to spend time with me. And so I had an Americano, which I love, and I had the scriptures, which I love, and I had Jesus, who I love. And it was awesome. And he had me remember that this is exactly what I used to do when I first came to Christ. Really started following as a freshman in college. And it was all new. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I mean, I knew some things, but I was like totally lost, and everything seemed new. And I was like, oh my word, Jesus, you did that. That's amazing. I didn't know you walked on water. And it was all fresh and real. It was just vibrant and exciting. Christ was alive in me, and it was new. And he was having to remember that Jesus is my Savior. And so I left the coffee shop, and I didn't have a message. But I remembered that he's my Savior. And then I was like, okay, sometimes I go on walks in woods or runs, and that's when the messages will come together. Or I have problems to solve, and they just kind of sort themselves out in my mind. So I went for a walk in the woods, and as I'm walking through the woods, I'm reminded of his creation and his power. And I used to lead wilderness trips, and I used to teach kids in the woods, and I was just looking at the awe of how everything he has created, and he sustains it all. And my very breath he gives as a gift to me. And I came to a body of water, and I was like, you walked on this. Not that one. But I was blown away, and I was like, you came for me. This is nuts. And this was years ago, and I've been walking with you, and you just want to keep walking with me. And I was reminded that you came, you died, you sustain all things, and you're at the right hand of God interceding for me in this very moment. You are the King of Kings. And I left the woods without a message, but I remember that he's the King. And as I was leaving the woods, there was a bench, a picnic table, and no joke, I felt like Jesus said, go lay down on it. I was like, this is going to get strange if someone walks by. And I lay down on this picnic table, and I closed my eyes, and I almost fell asleep, and I just felt like Jesus was saying, I just want you to rest. You're worried about all these things. And so I'm resting on this picnic table, and the sun's beating down, and it's just beautiful, it's joyful. I was remembering, God had me remember all the times that God has taken me through anxious situations or trials and fires, and he's given me peace. He's walked with me through so much in life. I remembered that he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I'm sitting there resting, and I'm just remembering that Jesus is my friend. He's my friend. And I got up, and I started walking the last little bit back to my car. I was like, I got no message. No message. What do you want me to share? And Jesus just said, I want you to remember. And I want them to remember. I want them to remember me. You see, I went in search of a message, and I didn't find a message. But Jesus, who is our message, found me. Amen. Jesus found me. I was a lost mess on Tuesday. He found me then. I was a lost mess as a freshman in college. He found me then. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Church, Jesus came for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He rose from the dead for us. And the question I have for you is the resurrection personal? Has it become personal to you? Because in all this remembrance, that's where God took me, is that the resurrection, as much as it's an amazing story and it changed history, Where the rubber really hits the road is when it is real to us. Because I grew up in a Christian house. I knew of God. I talked to God most of my life. I felt like God wanted me to preach someday, and I said, no, thank you. I did not want to be on a stage. I ran from God all the way through high school. My freshman year, he calls me out. And he's like, are you done running? And the thing that overwhelmed me was after running to all these other things that just lead to death, is that after 4 years of running, he's still pursuing me. And he says, are you done running? I'm like, what on earth would you want with me? My life is a mess. I've basically spit in your face. Why would you still pursue me? His total grace. It's just because he loves us. He loves me. And what became real as a freshman was not just a story, but that was my death that I deserved. That the tomb he was laid in is not just any tomb, that's my tomb, that's the death I deserved. And that he rose from the dead, defeating not any grave, my grave, to give me new life. And as Christians, as we believe, the Romans says, to simply put your faith in Jesus, that you confess that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, for all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I did that as a freshman. I've been walking with Jesus ever since. But the resurrection became real. And what's amazing is even baptism, the picture that God gives us, is an image of being laid to rest. As we go underwater, it's like being laid to rest in a tomb. And we come out, we're washed clean, and it's like we're coming to new life. It's about his resurrection. Has the resurrection become real for you? And church, as we remember that, who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's doing in our life, at those turning moments, those transformation moments, but even like on Tuesday when you don't have a message, when we remember how he's impacting our life, do you know what it leads us to? When we remember who he is, what he's done, what he's doing in our life, we aren't commanded to testify. We're compelled to testify. We want to tell other people, and this is exactly what we see in the story, that when the angels are telling them, do you remember what he said? The women, they remembered that he had said this. They remembered that Jesus stood in a temple and said, tear this down, in 3 days I'll raise it up. That he was talking about his own body. And as they remember, they rushed back from the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. I love that the first ones to receive are these women who cared for him, were impacted by him, were huge in his ministry life, who even in his death were seeking to attend to his needs. And I was reminded of the verse that as we seek, he will be found. They sought and they discovered and they ran back with joy as they remembered to testify and to tell all these other people. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. Well, that's kind of a different take. Big turn there. All right. And what's amazing is Peter, it says he ran back and looked at the tomb and he saw that there was just a linen and wasn't anything on it. And some of us, we hear the message, we remember, and God's calling us out. And sometimes we just need a personal encounter with Jesus. And that's okay. That's what Jesus gave these disciples. He started appearing and showing himself to the disciples. They started to experience him in person and realize who he was and that he was indeed alive. Many of you in this room have had those experiences. Some of you may be in that moment right here, and it's terrifying. Because if all this is real, it changes everything. And I can tell you, he can take all your fears and he can walk with you in them. He can take your shame and get rid of it. He can take your pain and heal it. He can take the lies and fill them and replace them with truth. He can take the death you feel and fill you with life. Even the gift, as we believe, is his Holy Spirit poured into our hearts to give us hope, not just in this life, but the life to come. It's incredible what God has given. And it's all 11 who didn't believe that first moment they heard. It says they were all either, history has told us that they either died or they tried to kill him. Every single one of the apostles who, many of them wrote parts of the New Testament, testified to the very thing we're here. Even in the face of death, they testified who Jesus was, what he had done, and how he was impacting their life. And as Jesus was, before he was taken up, he said these words, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem, to all the people, that there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent, for all who turn away from their wicked ways and their sins and trust in the act of love that he took for us, our place on the cross, and how he defeated the grave that was ours." And as the church has remembered this for hundreds of years, who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he's impacting our life, people have testified, and it has sustained and continued as more and more men and women believe and join the family of God. It is incredible. It is a gift. It is an honor. He is risen. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for how you have been at work in each and every one of our lives in this place. God, your scripture says that you knew us as we were formed in the womb. You knew us before we ever did anything. And Jesus, at just the right time, while we were still sinners, you died for us. You went in the tomb we deserve, and you defeated death. Jesus, would you help us remember in this moment, on a personal level, who you are, what you've done, and how you're impacting our life. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.